Lessons well. You're better than I am at this now. Thank you for your friendship, your service here, your service in our administration. Most important for your support for Hillary. Senator Gillibrand is one of my all-time favorite candidates. First time I saw her running for something, I said, wow, she got it. She has served you so well, and she has been a wonderful, loyal friend to Hillary, and I'm very grateful for that. Congressman Tonko, thank you for your service and for participating. Comptroller DiNapoli, thank you for your long support, and I want to say a special word of thanks to Irene Stein and the Democratic Rural Caucus. You know, when you elected Hillary to the Senate, and we moved into this little town we live in, I didn't have any really official duties as a Senate spouse except to come to the state fair, where she would parade me before all the farmers and everything and say, look, I got this redneck husband. You know, I must know something about all this stuff that's going on up here. But I remember, I don't think Hillary was ever any happier at work in her life. And my acquaintance goes back 45 years now, than when she was a senator from New York. And she loved working up here. Her eyes would just dance when she'd describe, you know, this little company that I think had 3 employees making fishing poles. And she said, you know, you could sell this overseas if you got on the internet. And all of a sudden, the guy tripled his employment and all of his fishermen in Norway, and she got to be known up here as Senator eBay. And not because the big things don't matter, but because the big things are made real in small steps, in changes in people's lives. If you ask anybody in my family how we measure public life, if you ask Hillary, she'll never talk about the election she won or the position she held. The test is, are people better off when you stopped than when you started? Do children and young people have a brighter future? And are we coming together instead of being torn apart? It's not about how clever you are if you take down your opponents, how quick you are in repartee. It's really about whether people's lives change. And you've already heard a lot of what's been said, but she's the best change maker, not just in this race. She's the best change maker I've ever known. And we don't have a lot of time to waste now. The reason that there's so much intensity in this election is that while it is true that we are doing better than any other big economy on earth today, I know that's hard to believe for some people, but in 400 years of economic history, no country has ever recovered from a financial crash as severe as the one we and other countries went through in less than 10 years. Not even once in 400 years. We got the jobs we lost back in 7.5 years, but not the incomes. So we're rolling into this election when, after inflation, 80% of the people haven't had a pay raise since the crash. About half the people are living on what they were living on the last day I was president. And I was telling the governor on the way up here, you know, on my mother's side of the family, I'm Irish, and I did a little work in Northern Ireland, you may remember, when I was president. And we just celebrated the 100th anniversary of Irish independence with the uprising in Easter 1916. Almost 500 people were killed just on that day, and it all happened in the background of World War I. And I read again an original copy of the Irish Declaration of Independence, which had three references to women in 485 words, established itself as a place of gender equality, religious equality, openness to people of all backgrounds. A year before the women had to vote in America. But the most important thing is, it looks great and happy and grand from 100 years away. At the time, there was blood running in the streets against the background of World War I. And the greatest Irish poet, William Butler Yeats, who favored Irish independence, but was sober about what went on, wrote a poem called Easter 1916, which one line of that poem describes a lot of the intense and often irrational feelings in this election year. Too long a sacrifice can make a stone of the heart. And what I come to you to say is that I think we're just as close of being able to rise again as we did in the 1990s. We can all grow together, and I think it would be a mistake to let it make a stone of the head. We've got to think our way through this. We know what works. What works is when there's inclusive economics and shared prosperity. So we need to create more jobs, train people to do them, and deal with the number one source of income inequality today, Hillary believes and I believe, which is all these corporations giving 80 to 90% of their income to their stockholders and top management. This is a relatively new phenomenon. I mean, you know, back in the dark ages when I met Hillary in law school, we were still being taught the way law students have been taught since the 30s. A corporation is not a person, it's a creature of the state. It gets privileges. And in return for them, it has more or less equal responsibilities to its customers, its employees, its communities, and its shareholders. Interestingly enough, there are lots of studies, I could fill this room with them, the companies that still follow that philosophy, that say, look, if you want your money back in a year and a day to grab your capital gains, please invest with someone else. If you want a company that'll make you a good return over any 5 to 7 year period, we're your company, but we are not going to abandon our people. We're not going to abandon our communities. We're not going to abandon our core mission to our customers. We're going to be faithful, and we will make money. And that's what we need again in America. So she has really talked about this at some length. We need to give people, companies, incentives to share profits with their employees and not let everybody get that whopping capital gains cut in a year and a day. They should hold it longer and then phase it down, because We will never overcome this inequality thing unless we get some help from the private sector, from these companies. And we got to change the incentives. But we have to have more jobs, too, and infrastructure. And we flew over the new Tappan Zee Bridge on the way up here. And, you know, you see it there. And I drive over the old one all the time, so I look at it, and it just makes you sort of perk up. You know, first, you know jobs are created. Second, you know it proves we can do something. Everybody I know that lives in and around New York City is breathlessly waiting for the LaGuardia project. These things are important. New York can lead the way in the revolution of clean energy. Every time Hillary says, I'm going to put up 500 billion, a million solar panels in the next 4 years, on the east half of the country, people roll their eyes. They think, oh, she meant to give that speech in New York. New Jersey has the second largest number of installed solar panels in this country. Don't you forget this. There are three states in America that already get more than a third of their electricity from the wind. We can do this together, and we ought to do it together. And, you know, so we also have to realize there are certain barriers to participation. We will never get back in the top 10, as we always were before, in the participation of women in the workforce, unless we have equal pay and some form of paid leave and affordable child care. And that's an important thing. I really want to congratulate the governor and the legislature here on what they did on two things. First, the minimum wage law, and second, in restoring Because it is designed the way all sensible economists think it should be designed across the country, to be brought in different phases in different parts of the state, depending on what their incomes are and their potential is. California adopted a law very much like it, and I predict to you that this will be the trend throughout the country, that people will say, let's have that as a goal, but use the sensible economics of doing it in a way that creates jobs and lifts incomes. So I feel great about that. And I feel good about what you were able to do in Albany this year for the SUNY and the CUNY college networks and finally put some new money in there. But I think it's important. I think it's important that the federal government help to make college more affordable for everyone and to make the debt more manageable. Maybe the most interesting thing that is in Hillary's plan is that no matter how much money you borrowed from whatever source, she believes since an education is a lifetime asset, you should be able to pay for it just like you pay for a home. With a mortgage-like instrument over 20 years, if you don't have it all paid off in 20 years, the rest is forgiven. And in no year could you be required to pay more than 10% of your after-tax income. Now just think about this. And if you do a couple of years in an AmeriCorps-like job, and she's trying to almost triple the size of AmeriCorps, all the community service programs, you get more than $23,000 tax-free to put against the debt. But if you paid it out, just think what this would mean. Think how many young people are still living at home with their parents because they can't make a rent payment and a loan payment. Well, you can move out of your parents' house. Think if, since the loan is tied to your income, think how many people have taken jobs just at the start of their careers when they're full of hope that they don't really like very much because the job they do like pays less. Well, you can take that job now because your loan payment is tied not to how much you borrowed, but to how much you're making. So you get labor mobility. Think of how many young people have dreamed of borrowing $56,000 to open a small business, organic bakery or something. Well, you can't get a loan now because your credit rating will be underwater because of the student debt. But if you have the new system, you can, because your payment is fixed. And if, like most small business people, you have good years and bad, and it's harder when you start than when you get going, it doesn't matter. Your payments will go down with that. This one thing could revolutionize potential for young people in America and allow us to all rise together. That's what she is all about. She wants us to rise together. And look, all of you know up here that she devoted uncanny amounts of time and creativity to small towns and rural areas. And it's really, really important because in New York and elsewhere, the biggest impact of this nationwide prescription drug and heroin epidemic is in small towns in rural America. And it is, if you listen to some healthcare expert talk about it, they'll say, well, it's the drug problem. But what about the overall life expectancy of working class people in those areas? Going down for the first time in 60 years. They say, well, in addition to the drug problem, there's the alcoholism problem. And then there's the suicide problem. And then there's the fact that only in this group, middle-aged working class Americans, is the smoking rate for women now back up to the smoking rate for men. Oh, they'll give you, you know, you can get a dry public health explanation. Hillary knows that a lot of these people are dying of a broken heart because they think every tomorrow is going to be like yesterday. And that if we want to all rise together, we have to give people something to look forward to in the morning. So she was the first candidate, I believe, both to propose a major $10 billion investment to treat this like a public health problem with more mental health and more treatment, and simultaneously another whopping investment to give people extra financial incentives to invest in all these people that have been left out and left behind. Look, you can make money anywhere in America if they're connected to the broadband and it's affordable. You got broadband speeds that are affordable and competitive, you can make money anywhere. But not without investment. And I have supported the governor in all of his economic development initiatives from the first day he was there, but you need the federal government to be able to do more to help you and support you. So That's my pitch. I think she's got the best idea. She's certainly got the best record as a change maker. She is the best qualified to go in a very troubled world and try to make good things happen, keep big bad things from happening, and bring us together instead of tearing us apart. And nobody, they tell me, and look, I know a lot of Democrats say, well, I don't care about that foreign policy stuff. You should this time. You should this time for a simple reason. First of all, on pure humanitarian concerns, it should bother you that we have the largest number of migrants since World War II. This is a country, ours, as the governor said, made by immigrants. We don't agree with the fellow in the other party that wants to build a wall. And even if you build one, you can't keep the social media out. Right? So Hillary basically believes, whether we like it or not, we are doomed to share this small ship of Earth together, and we better find a way to have less inequality and more shared prosperity. Less instability and more shared communities, and less political extremism and more common citizen governance. Now, that's basically what she wants to do. So I ask you to support her for that reason. Now, let's get to the meat of the coconut here. New York has a big challenge. She has always been had your back. You gave her a chance, and she loved it. There's hardly a place she can go upstate that she cannot cite some particular thing she did for somebody. And a lot of people say, well, who cares? Old presidents should just be the rhetoric guys. That's work for the other people to do. No, it's not. They used to make fun of me all the time during budget seasons, and Andrew sat through many of them. We'd have these budget sessions, and I'd literally get criticized in the Washington Post saying, Bill Clinton is too much in the weeds of this budget. That's not what presidents do. They just go give speeches. Now, hired help's supposed to fix the budget. Well, how the American people live is more affected by what was in that budget than whatever speech I was given that day. And I'd been a governor for 12 years. I thought it mattered. I've never ceased to be amazed that politics is the only profession in the United States where people are actually surprised if you know what you're talking about. It is. You think about it. It's true. It's true. It's really true. And then we're supposed to be entertainers. I never will forget, we were in a budget session one day, and we had to make a number. We had to cut the deficit some more because we were determined to bring it down into balance. And this, my OMB director said, well, of course we're going to slash these farm subsidies. They're all corporate welfare. And I said, they are in some places. But I said, I live in a state where there aren't any corporate farms tilling the soil. And the reason for these subsidies originally was, if you're a family farmer, you can't stand more than one, maybe two bad crop years at the most. It is true the program has been abused. It is true we need to redirect it, include more people like the farmers in New York, the fruits and vegetables and all that. And it's true that nothing's perfect, so we're going to hurt some people that actually get hurt. But when you do that, don't enjoy it. Respect the fact that there are people whose lives are respected. I remember when we ended the tobacco support program and essentially ended the, America's support for tobacco, which I thought was essential for public health reasons, I went to North Carolina and established and announced it in a tobacco shed. And everybody said, they're going to kill you. I said, no, they're not. They don't want their kids to get cancer. They don't want to export cancer abroad. They just don't want to be left high and dry. They don't know how they're going to make a living. They don't know how they're going to raise their kids. They don't know if their culture is being condemned for something they didn't know was wrong when they did it. I said, just take a deep breath. That's the way we got to do this again. We spent too much time screaming at each other. We need to be neighbors again. We need to be friends again. We need to be talking again. Now, you know, I have almost total recall of the stories that Hillary has told me about what she was able to do as a senator in upstate New York and how much she loved it. I cherish our family vacations here. It tickles me when the governor gets a victory in the legislature. And I remember when I was a governor and he was giving you some of my old sayings. My best old saying is that the governor in a legislature is like the superintendent of a cemetery. There are a lot of people under you, but nobody's listening. Anyway, so here's what it looks. Let me say one just pure naked political thing. We're going to have this election Tuesday. 8 years ago, when she and President Obama ran against each other, it was a tightly fought, exciting primary. We had a record turnout. And you stayed with her. She prevailed. But the memories were fresher then than they are now among many voters, especially younger voters, about what she had actually done. In Illinois, the president's home state, even though she was born there, I was thinking of that when I saw Hillary's opponent reminding us that he had a birth certificate saying he was born in New York, that he won, and he should have. It was his state. He served it in the Senate. But here's what you need to know. Even though we had a record turnout, and New York is 50% larger than Illinois, Illinois cast 50% more votes than New York for a very simple reason. They have state and local races on the ballot at the same time. This is the only state in America of any size that has a standalone primary. Therefore, if you are really for her, I want you to spend between now and Tuesday telling people they need to show up, be counted, be heard. She was there for you. You need to be there for her. We need you. And look, I'll tell you, there's been a lot of theater in this race, and a lot of it's been entertaining, and some of it's been kind of revolting. But there'll be a lot more. But when it's all done, when everybody got done calling everybody names, when this latest breathless attack comes out, when all this stuff's happened, the people here who are full citizens of America will still need an America where people with disabilities are seen and empowered. They will need that. The young people here will still need a college education that is debt-free and debt that is completely manageable. The people living in small towns will still need to be brought into the global economy through access to affordable broadband, and we still need to keep bringing manufacturing jobs back to upstate. We got a lot of stuff to do. We will have to do it. And that's why what Senator Gillibrand said meant so much to me. I believe that Hillary's the best single change maker I've ever worked with. Not only because of what she did here as a senator, because she got the only deal that survives our attempts to get along with Mr. Putin and Russia that reduces the chances of accidental or intentional nuclear war, and had to get 67 votes in the Senate, which she got. That's a lot of Republicans. And the agreement on the Iran sanctions and so much more are because she kept going after we got beat on health care in the White House and passed the Children's Health Insurance Program, and 8.5 million kids are insured under it. She even got the House Republican leader, Tom DeLay, to co-sponsor a bill to help move more kids out of foster care into permanent homes. And he couldn't stand me. But this is Hillary now. She went to him and she said, look, Congressman, I know we don't agree on much. He said, come on, Hillary, do we agree on anything? She said, yes, we do. You love your kids, don't you? He said, please, What's that got to do with anything? And she said, Congressman, for all our disagreements, I know you adopted those children, and I honor you for it. And she sort of had him. Not in a bad way. He said, okay, what's the problem? She said, you got all these kids in foster care. They're going to age out. There's no money to support them. They got no place to go, nothing to do. What are we going to do? And people don't want to adopt children once they're not infants anymore. They're scared they can't save them. People are scared to adopt children with special needs, afraid they can't afford it. What do you want to do about it? She said, oh, come on, you're a Republican. You love all those tax cuts and stuff. Said, let's give people a whopping tax credit if they'll adopt a child who's not an infant anymore, and a bigger one if they'll adopt a child with special needs. And then you got to be for some government support to help people manage this, and then to help the people who are coming out of prison to do well. All I had to do was sign the bill. They figured if both of them were on it, it's not. But here's what I know. By the time I left office, there was an 80% increase in the adoption of children out of foster homes. She always makes something good happen. So, you just remember that. You're wasting time here with us. We got time from now till Tuesday to remind people that the future of this country is on the line. The future of the Supreme Court, the future of our economic programs, the future of our social problems, the place of whether we can prosper together, whether we can live together, whether we can be citizens together. Every place in the world, that's happening. Good things are happening. Every place in the world, people are looking for new ways to divide people and convince them that our differences are all that matter. Good things are not happening. We have to decide. We are just this close to being able to grow together again. If we do the right things with the right leader and the right direction, we are going to have a decade that will make the 1990s, when I had the honor to serve, look like just a nice little warm-up. We are going to do it. But we have to do it together. Every election is basically an employment interview and a hiring decision. You will never have anybody you know better who loves you more, who will do more. So I am imploring you. You got just 3 days left. Go out and make sure people understand that Tuesday is every bit as important as Election Day in November, and Hillary needs your help. You'll never be sorry you gave it. Thank you.
This one goes out to the ones in need. This one goes out to the sinner and the cynical. This ain't about no apology. This road was paved by the hopeless and the hungry. This road was paved by the winds of change. Walking beside the guilty and the innocent. How will you raise your hand?